only a one-man show at the time. And then they put me on. And then it led to my son working with me, which was the greatest thing ever.
Hey, I'm Deanna Riesenhoven.
And I'm Brian Dietzen. Welcome to another episode of NCIS Partners and Probies. Today we have a very special episode. It's a first for Partners and Probies. We have a father-son duo.
Dynamic duo, I'd call them.
That's right. It's Dan Gaspar and Dan Gaspar Jr. They are in charge of special effects for NCIS.
And people don't know, like, how far-ranging special effects is on our show.
I mean, they're doing everything from just making sure those autopsy doors open when we walk through to gunshots, to car crashes,
to rain.
Flames, to rain that's happening. Mm-hmm. Whenever you see something that's a little out of the ordinary, these guys are right behind it.
Yeah, and they've worked on everything besides NCIS, too. I mean, we're talking, like, big major concerts for people like Adele.
I mean, back to Adam's Family, the original Adam's Family, Armageddon.
To Batman. Yes.
I mean, these guys have done it all, including, I think, didn't Dan build the actual Mars, a model of the Mars rover for NASA to test?
Yeah, and we're not talking about effects. We're talking about the real Mars rover.
The real Mars rover. Yeah. He did that as well. So these guys have so much to share with us. And also, Dan and Dan Jr. represent the third and fourth generation of people working in special effects in Hollywood. It really is a family story, mm-hmm. and it's something that we feel so blessed that we have them on our set every single day. So stay tuned for Dan Gaspar and Dan Gaspar Jr. Thank you guys so much for coming on the pod.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys are the creative minds behind all special effects on NCIS.
You're keeping us safe. And cool too. We look really cool with the stuff that you guys do.
Yes. It's not as easy as you think, but whenever I tell you or you're safe and people are like, okay, your actor's like, okay, and they walk away, I'm like, all right. You know? everybody just goes about their business.
Well, we just hope you're not saying, yeah, you're safe.
Yeah, you're safe.
Sure, you bet.
You're being very kind to me because I know that there's several times that you've been like, this is just a little tiny explosion. I'm like, how little? What's explosion? Nobody told me about explosion. I don't remember that. Hold on, what's going on? But every time you guys walk me through it,
yes.
You give me demos, and I feel great. And I know that I'm in good hands.
Yeah, that was Jimmy's show that we did the sparks on.
Yes.
And he goes, we got to do spark, blah, 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 blah. You know, this is how Jimmy is, right?
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, but
Jimmy Whitmore Jr. Yeah,
we got to talk.
Go back and rewatch that episode. Yes.
We must talk to Deanna first to let her know because, you know, she doesn't like a lot of smoke and everything. He goes, okay, so we talked to you. And you agreed to it. And one of the greatest things was at the end of that sequence, as we were doing all the little squibs around you, you're like, huh? Like, it was natural because it was, I think it did spook you.
Yeah, she was just acting. she acted you, you know, she was performing.
Nope, I'm not even gonna lie. Okay, so for viewers who might not know exactly what this is, it actually made the trailer, it actually made the opening credits sequence. It's a little thing of me kind of like, I look like I'm looking right into the camera and we made a melon explode. You guys made a melon explode into a smiley face.
Yes,
that was pretty good.
Cool. Yeah,
yes.
Very cool.
So also for the viewers here, can you explain to us what is a special effects coordinator to kind of set the table here?
So what I'll do is when I get the script before the season starts, mm-hmm. a week before, I'll get the script. I read it. I break it down. I see what's happening.
Yeah.
Then as that goes, I start to line things up as we go. Let's say if we have an explosion or we might have little gags. Our show does a lot of gags besides explosions. We do a little stuff here and there.
When you say gag, what are we talking?
So we're going to say like one time we had a skull appear up out of the slush that we had. And then Jose, our director, he wanted not only the head to come up, but he wanted the head to turn at a certain spot.
Yeah.
So we have to be able to do that on cue. And those are what we call gags. Or we'll have a couple episodes ago, we had a sign falling on cue, which mm-hmm. was close to the girl on the ship. Mm-hmm. And that's what we go through. So I break a script down. As I'm breaking that script down, you guys are acting on that episode. The next script comes in.
Yeah.
And now I'm preparing for another one as my son here is working on that one. So I got two shows kind of going at once. And that's how we go about that.
Okay, and how long does it take to prepare a gag?
So we only have 8 days.
Yeah.
And when we get that, I have to move on it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I have to get people lined up. I have a crew of only myself and two others, mm-hmm. Daniel and John, and we have to get it moving pretty quickly. And like you say, we have to work on things. Like the watermelon gag, we worked on it a bunch of times to get it perfected. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't happen over, you know, overnight. I mean, we got to work it and we work it. And then when I'm driving home or I'm driving to work, I think about it. And sometimes I just keep, you know, making it better and making it better. And that's how we come up with it.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting in the back lot with like 20 watermelons and like M80s and like just lighting them and yeah. like let them explode.
We have to make sure that the top pops off at the right level too.
Yeah.
And it's safe for everybody to be around. First thing is always be safety. Crew, yes. actors, everybody has to be safe. And it's just the thing that if it pops off there or pops off there, it has to work. Mm-hmm. So my induction to this business is I'm third generation. And mm-hmm. I worked on, my first show was The Addams Family.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I knew how to build things, but I didn't know how to do everything. In this business, my department, you have to know how to do almost everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my dad had, we had the smoking train, and I worked on the smoking train by myself. And it was my very first gag. We get Rollo Julia going, and it worked great until it didn't.
What happened?
It didn't work anymore. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So I'm by myself and I don't know what to do because I'm green as can be.
Yeah.
And I take the train behind the backing over there. I'm trying to fix it and I can't fix it. And then, so what they said is like, okay, that's a wrap. We wrap. I felt so bad. But they got their shots what they needed.
Yeah.
And I go back to my dad's shop. When in the movies, every coordinator has a shop where you went to. And I went back the next day and said, Dad, it didn't work all the way. And he goes, blank them. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. But still, not everything always works, you know, as you prepare it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so you're third generation, which means Daniel, you're fourth generation.
Yes. So there's a lot of lineage there that comes with doing this. So, you know, it's not easy with all of their accomplishments and achievements and like what they have done to follow back in. And but here we are. We're doing it.
Was NCIS, was that your first show or had you worked on things previously?
So I worked on a couple previous things. Mm-hmm. I worked on, my first ever introduction was, I worked on Adele out in Vegas, the singer.
Oh, no kidding.
Whoa. Yeah.
So my first ever, I ever worked on, I was 21 out there and I thought this was pretty much the coolest thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
I was out in Vegas, I was with Adele, working on Adele, and we had a whole 100-foot water rain bar, 100-foot fire bar, flame bar, and then we had a piano that would break and light on fire mid-show. So that was my first ever.
Adele's intense.
That's yeah. Dang. Yeah.
So that was my first ever introduction into any of this stuff.
I'm sorry, I cannot get over 100-foot fire bar. How does that even work?
Yeah. So I mean, that's massive. So we had to split into like two different sections, 50-foot, 50-foot, and the piano was in the middle. So you know, you just feed the propane through the floor. We have like little grates that would come through the floor, so it would look like pretty much the whole floor was on fire.
What do you know? What song it was?
It was Fire to the Rain. That was
the big one.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't be able to use it.
I know. I was like, what if it would
sound awful.
Yeah. What if we just say it dramatically?
I set fire to the rain. Watch it burn.
As I touch your face.
The face.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Okay. What was Adele like?
She was cool. She was really nice. We really didn't get a lot of interaction with her because she was only out for so long throughout the day. Because she would really only come out to perform.
And, you're right.
Yeah.
How long was she there?
We were there for 2.5 years.
Oh,
off and on. So we would do like 5-6 months at a time, and then she would take like a break or two, and then she would come back, and we would, you know, crank a couple more months out, and
wow.
We were just doing it Friday, Saturday, and that was good.
And did you ever have to like troubleshoot mid-concert?
So there was times that obviously like our stuff wasn't working. Like there were times like on our piano, because we had flame coming through the water. So there would be times that it wouldn't light. And you know, during the show, it just starts to
smell like gas a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you just turn that little slider down. Keep that one off. But I mean, there's always stuff that doesn't go right.
Right.
But it's just about, you know, trying to figure it out and get it working.
Like your dad said, keeping people safe is like the key.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. That you can't go wrong as long as everybody's safe.
This actually leads to a great question for the both of you. How is it that you are able to stay calm? Because I've seen you both on set, and when stuff needs to be troubleshot, you're doing it, but you're also really instilling a sense of calm in everybody else. How do you stay so cool when, you know, you've got all these big effects?
It's the key. I can't let anybody know that I might be nervous or anything. He sees it. Yeah. I tell him about certain things.
Yeah.
But you know, but mm-hmm. as we work things out, and so when we're doing a gag or an explosion, you're always, if you're not nervous, there's a problem because mm-hmm. you want it to go.
You got to be on your toes.
Yeah, man. And you usually have one time to do this. You have one right. shot at this. And if you don't do it, you look bad. So, you know, you have to make it go. And the best way is to you will do your prep, and then you're just like, hey, let's let it go.
Okay.
Well, speaking of which, as it comes to like practical effects like that, this show has been going for 23 years. It's now picked up for its 24th season. How much has practical effects have they changed over the course of this show over 23 years? I mean, did we, because of, you know, how real they can make explosions look in post-production and all that sort of stuff, do you think we're doing less of that and relying more on like After Effects and that sort of thing?
Good question.
So we have done a lot over the years, and it has gotten a little less just because of money-wise, I believe also. That way, it has never changed for our thing because they will add, like maybe they will add a little bit something to it to make it a little more if they want it to.
Sweetener of
smoke or
fire. Yes,
they can. But otherwise, we have been going along the show very well.
Because I got to say, when I'm watching our show or another show or movie or anything like that, and you can tell something is real in the midst, I mean, it heightens it, the dramatic effect for me, you know, and then when you can tell, oh, that car that went into the river, you can see it was just CG'd, you know, and it takes me out of it for a second, mm-hmm. you know, so unless people are flying around with capes and webs and stuff like that, you know, I'll kind of let that go because sure. it's all CG or whatever. But yeah, but like the practical stuff makes me go like, oh, man. Can you believe they really did that? You know, that's like what makes James Bond so great, or like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. You know,
right.
like it's like, oh man, they really did that. That's so cool. And for you guys to do that every single day, and I got to say, one of the gags that you do every day is in my autopsy room. Both of those doors have to just kind of open as we're walking.
Oh yeah.
So keeping these actors safe. If he didn't do it on time, I would just walk right into that door.
Yes.
Because they're supposed to be, you know, sensor activated and all that sort of stuff. So once you walk towards it, it just goes. And it's funny, sometimes we'll be rehearsing or, you know, we're figuring a scene out. And if someone just walks too close to the autopsy doors, sure enough, the door just opens right away because. Yeah.
Well, there's a story behind
on,
that.
On the spot.
Let's hear it.
So it might have been season 2, maybe. And we had no cameras there. So I was always going on a cue from our assistant director. Mm-hmm. And Harmon was walking one time and ran right into the doors. And so then after that, I put up the little baby camera, security cameras at the time, so you can actually see what's going on now. And so nobody will ever run into anything because it's so easy. Yes. Because he got lost and he forgot to give the cue and ran right because Mark's thinking that door is going to open. And it didn't.
Because I've seen right behind the flats there.
Yes.
There's you look back there and there's these little black and white, like looks like security cams.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they can see if I'm picking my nose or whatever before I come in on the scene.
I can never figure it out, but they're in everywhere. So they're, you know, by the autopsy doors. They're also every elevator door that's also done practically. I can never figure out where the camera is in the elevator. I'm always looking for it. I cannot see it.
It's right up above looking down. So actually I can see you hit the outside buttons or he'll do all the button work. Because we're trying to make this show as realistic as we can. So you want to make that set look alive.
Yeah, you're right. Even the buttons, like you have to press that button. It's not just automatically doing it.
No, that's the biggest part is hitting it when you guys are hitting it too. It's like, you know,
the button lights
it's
up.
It's a whole anticipation game of it. Yeah.
Who has the reputation for hitting the button the most accurately? And who is the most stutter step kind of hit the button?
He's pretty good. I mean, I tell you, I trust my son a lot in a lot of things. He's really, really good.
No, I trust y'all. I'm talking about us, like for the actors. Because I know sometimes I'd be like,
faking you out.
Sometimes we have people just hit right over the top and they just cover the whole button up.
Yeah.
That's easier.
Yeah, it's a little easier.
So after you were on Adam's Family,
yes.
What did you do after that? I know you did some features, obviously.
Yes, I did Batman Returns.
Awesome.
That was with Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito. So in that one, Tim Burton wanted to see Breath. And
yeah.
So my dad had to hold, that was, he coordinated those. So we got big chilling systems to get those stages down to 32 degrees. Every stage was 32.
Every stage.
It's at Warner Brothers here. And we started shooting.
What?
We started shooting in September. It was like 100 out there. So people were getting sick. Wow. Because when you walked in, he wanted, that's before they did any kind of a CGI with that.
Yeah, they would just put in the breath now.
Right. And so every set was freezing.
That's actually wild. How were y'all, because it, at least for the actors, you get to move around a lot. You get to kind of keep the blood flowing. How were y'all handling that?
You had a lot of jackets, a lot of gloves.
No kidding.
And it kept the real penguins. They liked it too, because they had penguins, real penguins of that old.
For the penguins.
Yeah. And those, and stage 16 at Warner Brothers is huge. It's a very big set. And for to do that whole thing was, it's... It was different.
So that reminds me of an episode of NCIS. Do you remember the episode Iced, where we had the whole pond at nighttime and there was a body frozen in there? That was a Disney ranch, right? Yes. And so we all went out with flashlights and it was really cool because you could see all the flashlight beams and whatnot. And you guys created like an entire pond. And then what'd you do? You like had... like some freezing capability, like a hockey rink or something underneath?
No, we just put in ice there and smoothed it out. And then also some wax also in there. And yeah, that was a really cold night too. But yes, it was.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. And it really pays off though, because if, like you said, if we had added like, you know, cold breath or whatever like that and just fake that and it was just some plastic sheeting or something like that, there's something about that when it's not practical, just, I don't know,
right,
it takes you out of it.
It does But that's a long time ago, like, oh my god,
that was a good one.
It was
that must have been like season 4 or 5.
Yeah, it was all
wow.
4,
something like that.
Okay, now I'm gonna ask, do you all, if you can think back over the years, what's been your favorite practical effect for each of you?
So mine was on Lethal Weapon 4.
Mm-hmm.
And we shot this downtown Long Beach for 3 weeks. The opening scene was this guy with a flamethrower walking down, and he had a fire suit on, and he's burning every car and all the palm trees. So we had every car and all the palm trees set to, when he hit it, everything just lights up and starts burning.
Wow.
And then we get to the final part, and it's raining too. So we have rain going. We have this guy lighting everything up. Everything's on fire, and he finally gets to the gas station. I think it was Mel Gibson shot the guy. He slides underneath the big rig that we had rigged. So the rig that we had, we gut it, and then we had 8 16-ounce lifters, we call them lifters, they're black powder lifters.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent the tanker truck and the head of the 18-wheeler, we sent that thing up so high.
Oh.
And it almost hit the rain bars, how high it went.
Wow. Okay. And when you said lifters, I thought like, oh, like little boost hydraulic. You mean lift this thing up into the air?
Well, they're a black powder. They're called a black powder bomb, but you never want to use the word bomb. So we say lifter. It's a lifter.
It's a lifter.
Yeah, so it doesn't get people so, you know, riled up when you say what you're using.
I'm going to start using that, like when I've eaten something in my stomach. That's a lifter.
Yeah, you got some lifters going on there.
That's a different kind of lifter, Diana.
And a rain bar, just to give our listeners perspective, that's what, at like 35, 40 feet?
Yeah, so they could go be anywhere between 30 and 50 feet long. They go run on a crane, so the crane, we rig them up on a crane, and then we have rain. We can either heat it, or we heated it for that sequence for the actors, because it was all at nighttime doing that stuff. But if you ever watch the opening, it's a pretty good scene.
Yeah.
I remember you heated the rain... When Mike Franks was killed.
Yes.
Do you remember that
night?
Oh
my God. So it hailed just before that, earlier that day.
It was cold.
It was so cold up there.
All of us were terrified, because we're like, it's going to be cold out there, and then cold rain.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden there's warm water.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
It was warm. Yes, it was warm. But I think we had a jacuzzi, but I know there's a tent, but they were still cold though. So they were. I saw those actors. They were shaking, and all of a sudden, when they rolled, they stopped shaking. I'm like, man, I give them like, that's kudos to that stuff, because once you lose your body temperature, Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, there's nothing to be done.
This guy protects his actors.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm not going to be afraid if I have a rain scene now.
Yeah.
Okay, Daniel, what's your favorite practical effect?
So I don't have nearly anything as cool as probably his stories. Mm-hmm. But one of the stories I have is I was working with my old coordinator, and we were going to flip a car. So we built this whole ramp of where the car is driving down this dirt road, and all of a sudden it launches up on one side and, you know, it starts flipping over. And that was one of my cooler things besides one of the explosions we've done.
And someone was in there?
Yeah. So you just have a stunt driver in there and you just cage the whole car up, and yeah,
dang,
they trust you.
That's what I honestly, I can't even, just the way you kind of like made your hand, that angle it went.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to ask you.
Yes.
What's your favorite special effect that you've had on the show?
I'm going to do two.
Or stunt or anything.
I'm going to do two because I'm going to tell this story.
Yeah.
So in Blarney, that was first time working with quarter loads, and I didn't know. You guys, you know, everybody came up and was like, oh, don't worry, it's quarter loads, right? Remember
so,
this?
Listener, a quarter load is when you have a gun that has blanks in it. But so it's a quarter of the amount of the normal gunpowder that's in there. So it does let out a bang, but there's obviously no projectile. But we want something to actually go pop so that everyone reacts to it. So.
Yeah, so I wish you had gone ahead and explained that to me when we were on set. You didn't do that for me. So we were up there.
We got quarters. It's cool.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, quarters. So it's just going to be like, because it was also in the background. So I was like, it's just going to be a little like pop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We was in the scene. Them things went off, and the camera, and they said the camera was like right here, so like it was really close, and they were like, you know, I was supposed to be looking at you and just kind of duck. They were like, just kind of duck down, like you're not sure. That thing went off. I went fuck. Right, and then I came back up, and I was like, sorry, and another went off, and I went shit, and I hit the deck again. And I was like, I know I'm not supposed to be cussing. Oh, I don't even normally cuss, but. You remember that?
But it just, yes, I do remember that. That didn't make the final cut.
It did not make the final cut, no. But the one that I love with you guys was I loved the vending machine.
Yes.
Yes. What episode was that? Does anybody remember?
That must have been 4 or 5 years ago, at least.
That was a while ago. Casey gets electrocuted by a vending machine. That was my first time working with Sparks. Yeah. What was that like rigging that? So what's the process of rigging something to electrocute someone?
Well, we have the Sparks are they're squibs. Mm-hmm. So I think we use a Z16s and Z17s in there.
And tell us what a squib is.
So it's a little bit. So everyone is different. So a squib can be from a Z16, which is a very smallest one. It produces a very small spark. Mm-hmm. Then I can go all the way up to like an SD, which is called a small det. And then small debt up to 100, which is the big one. That's how you blow out tires. And those are super loud. Those are very, very loud. So anyone, there's different kinds for different ones. Like there's an MD1 that I blow glass with. We blow, if you want to shatter that glass right there, we'll put them up under the glass, and that's how we break that. But we did that. It was, for us, it was quite simple.
Yeah.
You know, that was a little more simpler gag. It was big for you, but you know.
This was huge for me. I went home, I was like, this was so big. I don't know. Whereas, and now you're sitting here like years later being like, so that was our little baby, like our little
that
tiny.
That was the quarter loaf.
Yeah, that was the quarter loaf. But there's also blood squibs, right? What's a blood squib?
So there's packs. So we have packs on them. So we'll make a blood pack. Mm-hmm. And under that is a lead shield. And then we'll put in another squib. It's like a D80. We use a smaller one called D80 quarter, which is a smaller squib. So it doesn't, you don't even feel it. So the actor will hardly ever feel it. It would just feel like barely touching you.
Yeah.
And then that will pop out the blood.
Yeah.
So we don't do that much more on, we have an 8 o'clock show. So we can't do blood. We can do dust, but we can't do real blood.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But so that's what we do. And we'll squib them up and we'll put them on a remote. Mm-hmm. And then I can do it whenever they open up. Like they have to keep their hands away. Safety.
Yes.
When you open up, then I can, you know, launch the trigger on you and shoot you.
I got a funny story about that. One time, me and him, we were doing a commercial, or we were doing a music video, and they wanted the blood hit. So my dad's like, "All right, perfect. I'm gonna do it on you," because they want to see what it looks like. So, lo and behold, he straps me up, does everything, explodes it. They love it. Now I have no shirt. Now my whole shirt's ruined.
Do you know what music video it was?
I forget. It was Bullet. It was called Bullet, yeah. I believe.
It was like Bullet Man or something.
Yeah, Bullet
like
Man
that.
Was the video.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, and he was even in the video.
Yeah.
They even used him.
Yeah. My shirt's already ruined. You might as well use me.
Yeah, you might as well go ahead and use me. That's awesome.
That was funny. That was a good one.
A few years ago. But we also have a blood capsule gun. It's called a Morton gun that I have that we don't do them anymore. But if I wanted to shoot you or you right here in the head, I could shoot and you wouldn't even hardly feel it. So
it's like a paintball gun?
No, this is called a Morton gun. So so we don't do these anymore.
Yeah.
Back in the day, when I first started, in the 91, you can make up capsules, either dust or blood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And add a paraffin wax, and then you color it, and then you put blood in there, and you seal it off. And the gun will shoot up 9 pounds per pressure. And I could, if you could just line it up on there, and bang. And it looks like you got hit in the head with a bullet.
So actually, how did you guys do for Caitlin Todd?
Oh, that was on the back of her head. That was, we put a pack on the back of her head.
Oh, okay.
That one.
Yeah.
Man, that talk about a memorable moment. I mean, that shocked absolutely everybody. Season two, everybody's safe, right? Because it's a pretty much a new show. And then she gets killed. Have you ever watched, I mean, I'm sure you've watched that back plenty of times, but, the take that they used was the second take. And so Weatherly is standing behind Sasha. And Michael Weatherly is standing behind Sasha Alexander. And you see him going like this. And he goes, yeah, over my dead body, Tony. And you see Michael Weatherly go like this. Yeah. And kind of flinch away before the squib hit. Because then the bullet comes and he gets sprayed. But he'd already gotten a taste of that from the previous take.
So. Yes, he did.
On the second one, he's going like this before she gets shot. So
the glee in your eye when you were like, yes, he did.
I see it still because we were up on the rooftop. That was season two. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. A special effect that stands out to me was there's an episode we did, I think it's like season nine or so. It was called About Face. Where they put Jimmy has to ram this other car, like and I remember you were like, Jimmy like drove through a picnic table and stuff, and you were throwing balsa wood and stuff in front of the car as I was going. But I'll tell you what, the way they set up that camera rig on the hood, I couldn't see anything. Like I couldn't see absolutely nothing. No, and so Diamond Farnsworth, who's our stunt coordinator, was like, so Bubba, you just got to drive this way and, don't hit the tree. And I was like, well, I can't see the tree, Diamond. And he was like, yeah, but you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be going around 20 miles an hour. It's not very big. And then I was like, okay. And then I did it. And then Danny starts throwing balsa wood at there because I'm like, it's supposed to be like hitting picnic tables and stuff. But you know what? I was safe. Because at the end of it, it all turned out fine. But if you watch the take of me screaming, that's true fear. That's
you know, as you don't know what's coming, right? You don't have any idea. We kind of know what's happening.
Yeah.
So but we always try to explain everything before we do it, any kind of a stunt or effect like that, to try to make sure you know what's happening through there.
Yeah, that's great.
And I want to just touch on what you guys have done, which is multi-generational, you know, like passing down from one to the next as far as, you know, this career in this industry. And you've all done it in this town, which is like a pretty incredible thing in this age of runaway production. I think, you know, our network alone has something like 11 or 12 shows that are up in Canada, others that are across over the seas and whatnot. And you guys really built an industry for your family here in Hollywood. Like, talk to us a little bit about what that's been like, passing it along from your father onto your son, and, you know, what the family business has meant to you.
Yeah, I mean, I have to thank God, I think, for being on my side, because otherwise, if the things aren't falling your way, it makes it tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, my dad got nominated for Academy Award on Ghostbusters, and he did all the Clint Eastwood shows. And so there's a big name that I have to follow, and it's very hard because everybody expects you to be like your father. Well, I'm not like my dad, okay? My dad was great, and there'll be nothing like him ever again. Because he's just that good, and he had to do everything when he had no CGI.
Right.
So I can only try to, you know, get as good as I could to be to him. And as we're working, and I thank God I stayed working long enough, and then at one point I did take a year and a half off, and I went over to work for JPL, and then I built the Mars Exploratory rover for them.
Whoa!
Yeah, and I built the whole mock-up that they could work on, and so we built it, and we sent it off to them. But that's how they did all their testing.
Oh, cool.
So then when I came back, I started on this show, which is ridiculous, right? Because it's like, what the heck? And this show just never stopped. And it was really a one-man show at the time. And then they put me on. And then here I am. And then it led to my son working with me, which was the greatest thing ever.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And talk to me a little bit about what you see as kind of the future of effects. Like, where do you see things going in the next few years?
Well, I mean, I always think that the way we do effects is always, it always looks the best. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would always think that it would always still be around. Because if you want the real thing and you want people to react to the real thing and if you want everything to go smooth, I think obviously real effects is the way to go. I mean, there's really no beating it. If you want something practical and something you can see with your own eyes, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And I think people are hungry for that. I really do.
Yeah.
We were talking about this a couple nights ago at this panel of, you know, the advent of CG and AI and all that sort of stuff. And I think there's a reason why people... Like this last year was the biggest box office year for Broadway in history. It's because people want to see things with their own eyes. They want to see like the real things and like know that this is really happening in front of them. And I think
they want
that
to see
like
craft.
Yeah, they want to see craft. They want to see artistry. You know, they want to see what you guys do, and how that works in tandem with the actors and the music and the writing, and we all create something that's really unique and special together. Because I mean. We can create whatever we want by telling, you know, AI on our phone.
Right.
But there's something special about that.
Yeah. And you can, like you said earlier, you can tell if it's not real or not. You can tell.
Yes, you can tell.
You can distinguish which one is real and which one is not real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed.
Should we get to Proby questions?
Proby questions.
Matching outfits, extravagant birthdays, many nicknames, a few classic moves of a dog-obsessed parent. At Ollie, they're obsessed with how obsessed you are with your pup, which is why they obsess over giving your dog the best. Ollie's fresh, human-grade recipes are developed by real chefs and backed by vet nutritionists. The meals are perfectly portioned and come with a puptainer and scoop for easy storing and mess-free serving, delivering the best experience for you and your pup. And through the Ollie app, you can actually check in on your dog's health with real vets. By uploading a picture, their team can check your dog's weight, digestion, teeth, and coat. They'll then provide next steps on how to keep them thriving. And because they're just as obsessed as you are, there's zero judgment if you check in every day. You could say Ollie feeds the obsession. Go to ollie.com/firstbox and use code FIRSTBOX to get 70% off your welcome kit. Ollie, feed the obsession.
All right, so I don't know if you guys are familiar or not, but we, the fans of NCIS have been lovingly dubbed probies. Uh-oh. And each week when we have someone on, we ask, do you have any questions for, say, special effects from NCIS? So they send in their questions and we pass them on to you. So
you have them this week, so I'm just going to let you. I have my own probe. Oh, you're so sweet. Look at
there we go.
Ran. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Is there a recurring effect on NCIS that fans may assume is CGI but is actually practical?
Wow, that's an interesting question.
Good job, Probies.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's a very good question. reoccurring. So,
or you can say any effect
that you think. Well, I would say your elevator work is it's always manned by a person.
Yeah.
And it's always there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And thank you, Mark Harmon's Smash Nose, because without that, we wouldn't have you guys back there with the little monitor.
Yeah, because you would think it would be automatic, but it's not. We have a person back there at all times.
Yeah.
The light is practical, though, right? When they turn the light off, or I know when they flip the switch. Are you guys doing that?
Yes.
Sometimes. Wait, in the elevator?
Like inside?
Yeah. Sometimes you're doing it two or three times. Sometimes you're doing two or three things at once.
With two hands.
With one person doing it, you know?
I got three things I need to do, and I only got two hands.
Y'all actually you're blowing my mind this whole time, because sometimes, don't we just do it?
Yeah.
Sometimes we just do it.
They're hidden buttons.
But I mean,
You got to listen for it, though, because, you know, I hear a dink and a boom. So you got to be right on it.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. You guys just blew my mind. Okay, great. Okay.
I love that.
Next Robbie question. Okay, what scene are you most proud of?
This is a good, I'm going to think our Ukrainian one we did not too long ago. That we had a big, that's when Bishop came back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a big shootout in that room, and it was a very small room. It was smaller than this set. It was really tiny for what we had in there.
Yeah.
It was massive.
Yeah. And we had it was very loud. It was loud in there, and it was a pretty darn good effect. We had more in there. We just didn't see it all. And at the end, they wanted to get rid of the actress. They wanted to make her go away. So we made a huge dump tank of debris. We did it once. I'm like, we need to have it more. But when we did it for real, she disappeared. Like, you couldn't even, you would have thought it was CGI because there was so much debris falling in front of her. Mm-hmm. She just gone. And that was it.
That's incredible. When you said it was really loud, you looked at me like, sorry. It was loud. Like, I wasn't there. That's okay. Yeah, I wasn't in the
We had everybody wearing cans because it was very loud in there. We had big bullet hits in there to show that, because they didn't know if it was just a person or it could have been a drone. It could have been anything in there shooting after them.
Yeah.
So this time we were going to go a little bigger on these hits, and you could see it in the walls.
Okay.
Wow. You know, that actually reminds me of the, not this last season finale, but the one prior. Remember when Parker was in that the ship and he's bleeding out?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then Knight has to go underwater, right?
So
they told us, they meaning the powers that be at the network, well, we're not sure we can't quite have enough in the budget for a full swim tank, all that sort of stuff. And so what did you guys do in order to make that, because she does go into the water, you know, me and Wilmer are pulling her out and making sure she's still alive, and then we go over and try to save Parker. But tell us how that happened.
So they used a sewer tank, like a septic tank they used. So we cut that off, and it was big enough to get the whole camera crew in there and her in there, and we heated that.
Yeah.
So that was all warm, and you were there on that.
Yeah.
And we made the water like it was shaking, and, you know, it was moving around, And so during the whole time, Katrina turns around to me. She goes, you know, I'm really cold in here. Can you turn the heater up? And I'm like, Katrina, it's like 100 degrees in here.
Yeah. She's like,
because at some point, your body temperature kind of drops
it
a little
just
bit.
Drops.
It was like, okay. And she's like, all right. Because it's just like, wow. But yeah, we had to make sure that the water was safe for her eyes. Mm-hmm. Everything in there was good.
I saw that and I was so amazed. I immediately went to the producers and said, just so you know, I can't swim. Thank you. Because you do good water work. Don't get no ideas.
Well, okay. Come on.
No, I really can't. I actually cannot. I do not know how to do it. She says nervously to the cameras, don't know how to do it. Okay, proudest moment.
My proudest moment would be the Jimmy Whitmore episode with the sparks when we were in the evidence garage. We had a big Pyrosil column that was supposed to be concrete, and he's supposed to go and hit it. He discovers the two pipes in there, and as soon as he hits it, it explodes, and then he gets launched back, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
We had a really good shot of our cameraman, Chad, over the top of it.
Yeah. You had a shot of it, of the filming of it.
Over the top, yeah.
That's cool. Wow. That was the Quiet Riot song was playing.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was so cool.
We heard that enough.
You had to do it to get the rhythm of it and stuff.
Oh, that's so cool. I remember that's the one, and I'm in my lab going like, the lights are dimming, the lights.
Yes. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Dude, thank you guys so much for coming here. Yeah.
Thanks for having us. It's been great.
Chatting with us about all this.
It's like family. We've known each other for a long time.
It literally is family. Yeah. It's not like family. Right.
Yeah, this is family. But
we're cousins.
Exactly. But we were talking about this before, Dan, we've had actors on here and you know, some writers and showrunners and all that sort of stuff. And that is such a small portion of the artists that it takes to make one of these episodes, let alone 500 of them. So we're so happy you guys joined us to give a different perspective on this.
Yeah,
it's really great.
Because it takes a lot longer than people think it does when you see it on screen, because it takes a long time to do something and work it out. And then you see it, it's like over like that.
And that 1 second gag, you know, really takes a lot of preparation. And thank you once again for keeping us safe.
Thank you.
So it's our pleasure.
Follow and listen to NCIS Partners and Probies on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paw Patrol is coming to theaters. Oh-oh! And it's bigger than ever.
Welcome to Dino Island.
Run to get tickets.
I'm a bulldog. This is as fast as I can go.
Paw Patrol, the Dino Movie, only in theaters August 14th. Rated PG.